Bibles, the book of Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. Good to have each of you with us this evening. Tonight we're going to finish the book of Acts. We've been in it over 2 years. Of course, the book of Acts is the historical book of the New Testament. If you want to know about the early church, you go to the book of Acts. One of the things we notice as we talk through it is the importance of the local church. When the Apostle Paul went out to these different places, different continents, and preached the message, anywhere people were saved, he left a church there. When you read in the New Testament, and you read Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, all these different places, they were churches, had pastors and deacons, and they were carrying out the commission until the Lord comes. And certainly when you look at the book of Acts, you can also see the doctrinal statement of the church of Jerusalem. You can see that the church of Jerusalem plainly taught salvation by grace through faith. And that's one of the distinguishing marks of the Lord's church all the way down till today. Tonight we're going to finish the book. We're going to be looking just at two verses. We'll look at verse 30 and 31 of Acts chapter 28. Let's stand to show respect to the reading of the Scriptures. It says in verse 30, Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house. And he received all that came unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful tonight that we could come and have a place to come to. And Lord, we're thankful for everyone that's here. We believe everyone that's here tonight is here by divine appointment. And Lord, we pray that this message would be a blessing to everyone that's here. We pray that you bind the strong man, that he not cause no disruption, so that we as a group will be able to focus on your word. Help my mind, help me be able to recall my studies, add things to what I prepared if need be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. We're going to title the message this evening, Preaching and Teaching. You see that in verse 31? That's going to be our title, Preaching and Teaching. Now, one of the things that needs to be the priority in a church service, I say this constantly all the time, but in this modern time, what's really getting to happen is the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God is getting pushed out. And it's more along the line of entertainment with the desire to bring people in. Preaching and teaching is what a church service should be, the main focus of a church service. The reason why I come to church, before I was a preacher, I came for the preaching and the teaching. And as we said so many times, the book of 1 Peter 2 says, "The desire of the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby." When you're first saved, you're just like a little baby, and you need to do what? You need to grow. And you need to have the milk of the Word that you may grow. And then you grow off the milk, and then after a while you move on to the meat of the Word. And you can't grow up into maturity. As you grow spiritually, you grow in your fruit bearing too. You'll grow in your fruit bearing too. Now why do you want to bear a lot of fruit as a Christian? To bring glory to the Lord. To bring glory to Him. John chapter 15, God is glorified when we bear much fruit. So what happens, the more you take in of the Word of God, the more God-like you are in your conduct and how you conduct yourself. The more God-like you are in your thinking. You unplug you from the Word of God, you watch how you drift in your thinking and drift in your growth. And you see how fruitful you are whenever you drift. You've got to have the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Now, let's go to Luke 10. I don't want to spend forever on this, but I want to show you something in Luke 10. You should know where I'm going. Luke chapter 10. Now, if you can't find things fast in your Bible, don't try. I'm going to read it anyhow. I don't want to lose you looking. Luke chapter 10. I think the highest form of worship is listening to the Scriptures. I think that is the highest form of worship, is sitting and taking in the Word of God. I've heard people say, well, I come here for the teaching, but I'll go somewhere else for worship. Like, teaching isn't worship. And just ignore that. That happens every year about this same time. If you want an ice cream, fight the filling until the service is over, if you can. But in the book of Luke chapter 10, you get to see the priority Jesus places on worship. I want you to see the priority Jesus places on worship. Are you there in Luke chapter 10? Watch this now. Verse 38, it came to pass as they went, they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Now you've heard of Mary and Martha, haven't you? And this is Mary's house. They would often go there to eat and fellowship. And remember their brother's name was Lazarus. Okay, that's the one Jesus raised from the dead. And she had a sister called Mary. Now I want you to notice what Mary's doing in verse 39. What's she doing? She's sitting at Jesus' feet and she's listening to His Word. Wouldn't you like, hey, I'm going to do that one of these days. When I get to heaven, that's what I want to do. I want to just sit and just let Him teach. I want to hear Him. Oh, ain't that awesome? So she's sitting and she's taking in the Word of God. She had a hunger for it. Mary put a high priority on the Scriptures. Now Martha, it says she was cumbered. And I didn't word cumbered, she was distracted. Her focus wasn't on Jesus. Her focus was on the dinner. Okay? And notice what happens. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her that she help me. Does Martha seem irritated to you? Yeah, she's mad at her sister. You know who else she's mad at? She's mad at the Lord too. Do you tell her to come and help me? Don't you care that she's left me to serve alone? She don't look too like she's too happy, does she? Jesus said to her, Martha, Martha, you're careful and you're troubled about many things. One thing is needful. What's the one thing that was needful? Listening to the teaching of the Scriptures. Taking in the Word of God. Now watch this. Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You see the priority that Jesus placed on listening to the Word? I mean, Martha was doing a good work for the Lord. She was working, serving. I mean, she's putting out a lot of effort. All Mary was doing was, it looked like she was doing nothing, didn't it? I heard people say, well, Mary wasn't doing anything. She was worshiping, is what she was doing. And she was listening to God's Word. She placed a high priority on hearing the Word of God. So, preaching and teaching. Is when you look here, let's go back to our text in the book of Acts. That is worship. That is worship. When you come to a worship service and you're listening to the Scriptures being taught, that's the highest form of worship that you can do. And you need to be thankful that you can hear it. And you need to be thankful that you can come and hear the Scriptures taught. Now, it says in verse 30 that Paul, let's go ahead and that's all introduction. Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house. Now, where he's at this time is he's in Rome. And he had been arrested about 2 years earlier in Jerusalem. And they put him, he went to about 3 or 4 different hearings. And never could find anything that he had done wrong. So, since they were talking about sending him back to Jerusalem where they had wanted to kill him, he appeals to Caesar. He was a Roman citizen. He was a Roman citizen. You had the right to appeal your case to the Roman emperor. He does that. That's why he's in Rome. And he always wanted to go here. Matter of fact, the Lord had promised him that as he bore witness of him in Jerusalem, he would bear witness of him in Rome. And this is the fulfillment here of what God had said. Now, it says he dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house. 2 whole years. Now, that's under house arrest, by the way. Now, the Lord did indeed bless him because he wasn't put in the common prison. But the idea of this hired house is a rented house. That's pretty cool, I think. I mean, here he is. He's allowed not to be put in the common prison, but he's allowed to rent a house, and he uses that house there as a preaching point. And people would come there to hear him preach and teach, which is what we're going to say here in just a little bit. It says here that in this hired house, he received all that came to him. That means there'd be a steady flow of people coming in there to see him. Jews, Gentiles. So for 2 years, people was coming and he was just teaching them the scriptures, preaching the word of God to them. And many people were saved. I want to share with you one man that was saved that I think's cool. And you should be aware of this man because I taught this book not long ago. Have you heard of Onesimus? Have you ever heard of the man Onesimus? I want you to get acquainted with him. I want you to turn to the book of Philemon. Turn to the book of Philemon. Now, I taught you about him in the past, but I want to admit, I think this is awesome. Onesimus. I want you to remember his name. Now, Philemon, if you want to know who Philemon is, he was a member of the Church of Colossae. That's about 800 miles from Rome. Get this in your mind. He's about 800 miles from Rome, which is where Philemon lived at. He's a Christian man. But he had a slave. And he had a slave by the name of Onesimus. That was his name. And what he had done, he had run away from home. And guess where he ran to? He ran to Rome. He ran to Rome. Now watch this. Are you with me? Now, this is what the purpose of the letter of the book of Philemon is all about. So, notice what it says. Verse 10. I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. So this was an escaped slave, and I'm not going to get off on the subject, but you can get on over. Let's look down at verse 15 and 16. It says, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, that means a slave, but above a servant, a brother, especially to me, both now much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Verse 18 is a great verse if you want to underline this too. If he hath wronged thee or owes you aught, lay it to my account. Isn't that pretty cool? Is that what Jesus done for us? If he owes you anything. Remember, he is an escaped slave. He owes you anything, which kind of indicator is he might have stolen something when he left. He owes you anything. You lay that to my charge. I, Paul, he says, one down in the text, will pay it. So this Onesimus was begotten in Paul's bonds. So what does that mean? Well, he was a prisoner there in that hired house. And remember, he was chained, when you was a prisoner, you were chained to a Roman soldier. They changed shifts every 6 hours. So you look at all the people, all the Romans he would have witnessed to in that amount of time. But this escaped slave ended up in Rome. And he ended up, for some reason, going to this hired house, coming into contact with the Apostle Paul, who told him about the Lord Jesus, and he was saved. Oh, God's people say it. Isn't that remarkable how the Lord works? I mean, this guy was like 800 miles from the Church of Colossae. And that's where Philemon was at. You know what Paul did? He sends him back. And the reason why, that was that man's property. And Onesimus became a servant of the Lord. He sent him back. He helped take the epistle to the Colossians with a man by the name of Tychicus and the epistle to the Ephesians. And then what Paul wanted is for this man to willingly send him back. He wouldn't use him at that point until he sent back and make sure everything was okay with his master. But you see, at this hired house was where he was saved. You know what else Paul did while he was there? You know what else he did besides preaching and teaching? He wrote the prison epistles. He wrote the book of Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians, and he wrote Philemon. He wrote all of those. Now, he may have wrote the pastoral epistles. A lot of people think that Paul got released and then, but there's no way of knowing that for sure. But he could have wrote the pastoral epistles too, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. So here he is witnessing, preaching, and teaching the Word of God. Here you see somebody that had been saved. He's writing books, epistles. He changed his service. Changed. He was no longer loose to where he could... Don't you think he liked better traveling? Going across and going to these different... on these different missionary journeys. He couldn't do it anymore. He's a prisoner. But he just changed the way that he served. He never gave up. He never whined and complained. He never said, oh, woe is me. Here's what I want you to get. He served God where he was at. And that's what you have to do. Sometimes our circumstances in life change. And when they change, we whine over it. Do we not? What we need to do is to accept that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose, and serve God where you're at. I'll mention this again. And I tell you, of all men's meeting, this past men's meeting was the favorite one I've ever had over there. And when Big Al shared his testimony with us, and had cancer, he's had cancer now for 3 years. And he's fought some pretty big battles with that. And what he's done is he served God in that cancer. And when he goes to waiting rooms, you know, waiting to go back to see, you don't ever just walk right into the doctor. He's in that waiting room. He talks to people about the Lord. And when he's at the hospital, the nurses that comes in, I've been there, talks to them about the Lord. His circumstances certainly has changed from what they were 5 years ago. But he's serving God where he's at. One sermon that I don't think I've listened to it, but I've seen it and I read about it, but it was written by John Piper. He's a famous preacher today, still living. And he wrote a sermon when he got cancer, said, don't waste your cancer. And he's talked about using that as a means of witnessing to people that's setting where you're at. You can serve God where you're at. Isn't that amazing? Paul, though he couldn't travel anymore, though he had a chain on him, though he was bound to a Roman soldier, though he was in his own hired house, and though he didn't know whether he was going to live or die, and you can read the book of Philippians and see that, he kept on serving God where he was at. Here's what Paul wrote in Philippians 1. I want you to get this. This is one thing I want you to take away tonight. He wrote, for me to live is Christ, and to die is a gain. For me to live is Christ. God's people are called with different names in God's Word. And one of my favorite names, as Mama used to always say, favorite. One of my favorite names for God's people is their servants. You know, if you're here tonight and saved, you are a servant. And once you know Christ as your Savior, for you to live is what? For you to live is Christ. That's your purpose. That purpose never changes. Now, the way you serve might change. But you serve until He calls you out of your active duty. See, we're on active duty right now, as long as we're living. But there'll be a day that the Lord will say, it's done. Larry, your race there has done been run, and He'll bring you on home. But while we're here, what are we supposed to be doing? Serving Him. You're not serving Him to get saved. You're serving Him because you are saved. Salvation isn't something that you can earn by your deeds. If you could do that, Jesus never had to die to start with, for crying out loud. But you want to serve Him. You have a desire to live your life for Him. To live is what? I always like to do. For you to live is, there's a blank there. For you to live is what? Well, for me to live is my job. For me to live is I like to listen to them athletes sometimes. Okay, for me to live is football. For me to live is this. You ever hear them do that? For me to live is sports. There's an old country song that talks about a man's wife. There goes my reason for living. Talk about his wife. You hear that old country? Let me sing it to you. No, it's okay. What happens when your job's done? What happens when your football career's over? What happens when these things are ended? Then what? You run in then what's long enough, you know what's going to happen? Eventually you're going to die. And when you die, you're going to go out into eternity. And I'm going to tell you the most important thing in this world is where you spend an eternity at. And people got themselves wrapped up in this old world that they don't even consider spiritual things or live for spiritual things. Yeah, people make professions of faith when they're 8 and 9, and there ain't nothing wrong with that. People get saved at those ages. Then you got people make professions of faith, and their whole life they never serve the Lord. They have no desire to worship Him. They have no desire to pray or come to His house. Man, I tell you what, folks. You're a servant, and you need to have this in your heart. You're a servant. So what we do the rest of our days, are we like Paul? No, not in our service, but we're all servants when we're saved. He saved you when you was 8, or if He saved you when you're 7 or 10, you know what He wants you to do? Serve Him all the way down. Now, are we accountable for that? Absolutely we are. So, he continued to serve Him, and his situation was different. Let's go back to our text. His situation was different than when he was traveling. But though he was rested and had a chain on him and was in a hired house, what was he doing? He was still serving. He was still serving the Lord. And that's what we want to do. We want to serve Him as long as we live. Brother David, we want to serve Him as long as we live. I hope I can always preach. But that may come a day that I can't. I'll serve Him by praying. You know, any way I want, I just want to serve Him till the last breath goes out of my body. For me to live is what? Christ. Christ when you're saved. Okay? Now let's move back to our text. Acts chapter 28. I was looking at Romans. It's right on the same page. So he dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house. And he received all that came to him. And one of those that he received was that man by the name of Onesimus. I just wanted to present it. Because a lot of people know who Onesimus is. That's who it is. An old slave that was saved in Rome while Apostle Paul was there. Think about that. Think of the logistics of that. Look at Colossae on a map and look at where Rome's at. He ran away that far and run into a preacher that told him about Jesus. That's how the Lord works. Okay, now what did he do? Verse 31, it says he preaching the kingdom. He preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. So there we're back to, what's our title tonight? Preaching and teaching. That's what Paul did. That's what Jesus did. What Simon Peter did. That's what the apostles did. What is the commission? We are to make disciples. You make disciples by spreading the gospel message. And then after disciples made, you baptize. You have to be made a disciple, then you're baptized. Then what do you do? What's the rest of the commission? Teach them. Train them. Teach them to be a disciple. Teach them the scripture so that they can train their children that way. Teach them the scripture so they know how to live their life. Teach them so they can tell others. You teach them. Preaching and teaching. That's where it's at. That's where it's at. That's what Paul did. Now notice what he preached. Let's go ahead and get to our subject. What did he preach? He preached the kingdom. Now I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on the kingdom because I give last Wednesday night we talked extensively. I give you 7 truths about the kingdom. And I'm not going to go back and re-preach that. But I do want to say that the most important thing is to be a citizen in His kingdom. To have citizenship. To where He's your king. And not only He's your Savior, He's your king. and where you have a home in the Father's house. Where you have a home in the Father's house. Turn to Luke 23. I'm going to look at a couple texts here in the Gospel. I may get done early, so, but don't get you hopeful with that, Lee, that I'll get done early? Would you say that ranked right up there part in the Red Sea? I'm rolling pretty good. Luke chapter 23. What did he preach during that? How he preached the kingdom. We'll tell you one more time, this ain't it, is it? This place ain't it. There's an everlasting kingdom out there. And the text that the Lord used to speak to my heart, Matthew 16:26, what does it profit? If a man gain the whole world but lose his soul. I tell you what, this year, I don't know how many funeral services I've done, 7 or 8 just this year. Just thus far this year. When that day comes, what's important? Are they a citizen? Do they know the Lord? Did they have eternal life? Did they have victory over death? Are they with the Lord? That's the first question I asked. When I asked. Because it makes it easier. I'm telling you, when you're a pastor, it makes it a whole lot easier when the person's saved. So hard when they're not. A lot of, you have to speak in so many, you just speak to the living anyhow, I realize that. But boy, when you can take God's word in comfort, it makes all the difference in the world. First question I asked, was he saved? Did they know him? Had they trusted him as their Savior? Was there a date and a time, or a day and a time, that they trusted Jesus? Did they know? Did they know? Is that important? Most important thing in this world. Most important thing in this world. So, Luke chapter 23, talking about the kingdom. I tell you, folks, the old devil's a deceiver, and he's active here in the earth. And as well as there's true religion, there's also false religion. The book of 2 Corinthians says its devil is transformed into an angel of light. And he'll use false gospels, false messages to deceive people. And the hardest people to deal with is someone that's trusted a false way. And that leads to a lot of arguing. I don't quarrel over things, but I will tell someone if I think they trusted a false way. You got to trust the right way. And folks, I want you to know they're in 10 different ways. Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. But let's look here just a little bit, Luke 23. I know you know the text. One of the most focal points in history, and I do this a lot with folks, I do a lot here at the church, but I do this a lot when I'm talking to someone, and they say, well, they said you have to do this to be saved. And this one says you got to do that to be saved. And this one says you got to do that to be saved. And they're confused, and I can understand the confusion. But you know, one of the most focal points in history is when Jesus died on Calvary, isn't it? A.D. and B.C.? I mean, think about it. It's one of the most focal points in history. And when Jesus died on Calvary, from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 hours he hung there, in that time frame, he saved the man. There's no doubt that the man was a sinner when he was put on the cross. No doubt. He was a thief. And there's no doubt that he wasn't living the life either, because he was one of the, he mocked Jesus with the other thief. But I'm going to tell you something. A drastic change happened in it. And that drastic change, that change of mind, is what we call repentance. That's what repentance is. You have a change of mind or a change of heart. And a preacher can't do that for you. Only the Holy Spirit can. So it does it. It gives you a change of heart. Start thinking different. Start being concerned about your soul. Start being concerned about hell and heaven. It's something the Holy Spirit does. So when the Scripture says that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Spirit, He brings about a new birth. Now, Luke 23, watch this now. Verse 39, one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him. And he said, if you're the Christ, save yourself and us. Now, both these did that in the beginning. Several hours have went by at this time. Both of them done it. But then what happens in verse 40 says, the other answering rebuked him, saying, don't you fear God? So here this thief chain has a change of mind. He was chiming in with him. If you study Matthew 27, it said both these mocked him in the beginning. But there's a change in this one. There's a change. He begins to realize he's about to go into eternity. He realizes he's not ready. And he realized the key to going there was this fella on the middle cross. Watch this now. Verse 41, he said, we indeed justly. He felt he deserved to die. But this, we received a due reward for our deeds. He realized he's a sinner, didn't he? He said, this man hath done nothing amiss. Now watch this, folks. Watch what this man does. He says, Lord, calls Jesus, Lord, I want you to remember me when you come into your kingdom. He realized Jesus had a what? Kingdom. What did Paul preach back in Acts 28? What was he preaching there? He was preaching the kingdom. What am I preaching here in Bancroft on this Wednesday night? I'm preaching the kingdom. Now, I'm telling you, you need to be a citizen of it. How? Well, I'm going to show you right here. It is. Right here's the example. He chose this time to save this man so that you can look at the example. You don't have to be confused. You can look at the example and see how he saves a sinner. So you see the change he had, change of mind. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Paradise is another name for heaven. Did the Lord save him? Yeah, he saved him. And Scripture says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's an example. Right there's your example of it. You say, Jeff, he went? Yep, he sure did go there. There's an example of salvation by grace through faith. He called upon the name of the Lord and the Lord saved him. He'll do that for you. He'll do that for you. Wash you clean. Hey, what about his sin? Jesus paid for it. What about righteousness? Jesus gave him his. It's the same way he saved me. That's the same way he saved you. If you're lost here tonight, he can do the same thing for you. He can do the same thing. Look at the example. I point people to that example all the time. Washed him clean. He became a part of the kingdom. Turn to John 3. John 3. I'm almost done. Here's a pretty big skeptic back there, Deacon. I tell you what. John chapter 3. I showed you the key to the kingdom. I showed you the way to the kingdom. That's what Paul preached. He preached Jesus as being the way to the kingdom, into the kingdom. Showed you how faith is, you know, the means by which he saves you. You call and you trust him. Trust what he did. And Calvary is the means of saving you from your sin. Okay? Now, let me see what I want to share with you. He preached the God, when you look at other texts, of course, when we look at the thief on the cross, one of the things that you see is he wasn't baptized, was it? And that's one of the things that's made necessary for salvation is baptism. But it's not. I had a guy write me a letter one time because I used this in a church. I used this in a paper that I passed out. He said I was foolish, unlearned, and lost. I said, well, good day to you too. Foolish, unlearned, and lost. You send me a letter, you know. And it's because I said that we're saved today the same way as the thief on the cross was saved by faith in Jesus Christ. foolish, unlearned, and lost. He said that was clearly before the command to baptize. I said, what was John the Baptist doing? What was John the Baptist doing? Why did they call him the Baptist anyhow? He immersed. Where did Jesus go for his baptism in Matthew chapter 4? John the Baptist. So it's just ridiculous. It was already in effect, but he didn't do it. So the key to the kingdom is trusting Jesus. Did I have y'all turn to a text? What text was it? John 3. Okay, let me give you that. Let me give you that. John chapter 3. Went off on that tangent and I forgot my text. John chapter 3. Well, you talk about a tremendous text. I want you to know this. I'm going to show you why you need to be saved from this text. John chapter 3 says, he that believeth on the Son, John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath present possession, everlasting life. Now watch this. Here's what I'm going to give you. He that believeth not on the Son shall not see life. Now here's what I want you to get. The wrath of God abides on him. Because everybody, I want everybody in the house to see that. His wrath is abiding on you. You need to be set free from that wrath. Of course, you don't want to die there. Do you agree? Would you want to die under God's wrath? So his wrath abides over you. Okay? Notice this, verse 18, John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Now here's what I want you to see. He that believes not, condemned already. That don't even sound good, doesn't it? I mean, have you ever wondered why someone can, when they die, go to hell? Well, they're already condemned. They're already abiding under God's wrath. What does a person need to do? They need to trust Christ. And when you trust Jesus, there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. You've got to be in Christ. How do you get in faith? Trusting Christ as your Savior. Trusting Him. That's how you're a part of the kingdom. That's the key to the kingdom, is trusting Him. But until that day comes, His wrath abides, and you're condemned already. When you trust Jesus, your condemnation was paid by Him, and He received God's wrath in your place. That's why you need it so bad. That's the why there needs to be a trusting of the gospel. Let's go back to our text now. So he dwelt 2 whole years in a hired house. Did he quit? Did he complain? Did he quarrel? No, he just served while he was there. He received anybody that come there. He would share Jesus with them. He'd teach them. People got saved, he'd teach them about the Lord. He just kept right on serving. He just served a different way. He wasn't loose like he was before. But he still served. To live as Christ. What'd he do? He preached the kingdom. That's why you need to be a part of the kingdom. If you're not, you need to be. Either in His kingdom or you're out of it. Either one. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. Seek it first. First in priority. That's what we talked about last week. So he preached the kingdom. Now, he taught the things concerning the Lord Jesus. He taught, of course, about the Lord Jesus, what we've been doing. Why Jesus died. Why Jesus, you know, Jesus lived for us. He died for us. He resurrected and He's coming for us. He would teach all of those things to them about Jesus. He taught the things concerning Jesus. Now, it says that he did it with all confidence. That means boldness. Boldness. He wasn't shy about it. He was open and he was frank about what he believed and preached. He did it with confidence. Folks, you need to know what you believe. You need to know where in the Scripture where it's at and have the proof for it. And it gives you confidence in what you're sharing. So he did it. He preached and taught, but he did it with confidence. And it says, no man forbidded him. Now, you see where it says, no man forbidding him? That's one word in the Greek. I didn't know if you knew it. One word in the Greek. You know what the word means? Unhindered. Unhindered. Think about it. He was in pagan Rome. That was the biggest idol worshiping. I mean, it's just like the Greeks. All they did was adopt the Greeks' gods. That's all they really did. They just changed their names and adopted their. It was an idol worshiping center of the world, buddy. And right here, and guess who was, you know who was emperor at this time? Nero. Look at history. He was a nut. I mean, he lit his garden with Christians. He impaled them and poured oil on them and set them on fire. He was a horrid man. That's who the emperor was when Paul was here. Tradition says it was Nero who had him beheaded. So here he was in the idol capital of the world. One of the worst emperors, history, one of the worst emperors ever that sat on the, that it was ever Caesar. And here was this man of God, right in the midst of all that junk, right in the midst of that mess, having his own little old hired house there, chained to a Roman soldier, preaching and teaching unhindered for 2 years. All God's people say it. Who do you think's behind that? Lord did. He set him a witness right there. And he shared the Lord. You know, the Bible says that when the Lord opens a door, no man can shut it. And that's exactly what the Lord does here. He preaches the kingdom unfettered. What's our takeaway tonight? You see the importance of preaching and teaching, don't you? It's what he did. You see the importance of preaching when you see, look at the commission, you see the same thing. See the importance of serving God where you're at. Sometimes our focus gets on our circumstances so bad, we get so focused on our circumstances that we forget about serving the Lord. And you need to serve him where he is at. Aren't you glad Paul didn't do that? His focus was always service, no matter where he was at or when he was in a jail. That was his focus. Remember when he was in a Philippian jail? That jailer was saved. His focus was always on serve God where you're at. And you see, another takeaway, you see the importance of the kingdom. Being a part of it. And if you're a part of it, you thank the Lord for it when you're on your way home. Say, Lord, thank you that I'm a citizen. If you come tonight, I'm ready to go. If I die tonight, I'm ready to go. I'm a citizen of the kingdom. And if you're here tonight and lost, the key to the kingdom is trusting Jesus. All you have to do is look how I'll repeat it again, though I'm foolish, unlearned, and lost. People are saved today the same way as the people on the cross are saved. Now, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in His sacrifice. And you call upon His name and you ask Him to save you. You know what He'll do, Jack? He'll save you. He'll give you eternal life. Let's all stand. Thank you. Hey, Deacon, look back here at that clock. It's 10 minutes early. What do you think about that?